I'm going to make this half hour go a little quicker for the calls and texts. Unless you ask me a specific question, I'm not going to weigh in. How about that? I love questions, but I don't want to take any more time than we have to here so we can keep this going. Everybody's got a minute, only doing that today because every time a line goes down, we get another call, so I get it. People want to talk, so we'll try and exhaust these calls that are waiting and in a good way. And also get to some texts. Bottom of the hour, we're going to talk about some other things, including a little bit of good news. I like good news. Yesterday, I saw something, and I was fired up. It was the middle of the show. I didn't even have a chance to tell you about it. It was the headliners at WeFest. Like, wow. Wow, wow, wow. So we'll get that in there. We'll also talk a little bit about what's happening at UMary. And one other thing I want to talk about. Oh, I need to know more about this story that I think is the story. That is the Capitol Police investigation that's going on right now. I'm telling you, folks, from the moment I walked into the Capitol last week, when there was a door that I've gone through many times, and I only saw one guard at that door, this is a door to the U.S. Capitol. One guard. Never forget his blue eyes, because that's all I could see, because he had the mask on. I'm like, wow, usually two guards here. I didn't say that, but I did confirm later that there normally is two guards there. Senator Kramer goes through that door every day to the Capitol. So I said, are you worried? He nodded his head, yes. I said, you have a family? Nodded his head, yes. He said, I'm more worried for them. Something rotten in Denmark about the whole Capitol Police deal. I think it was designed to sort of stop anything that might have been happening. What did Kevin Kramer say? Senator Kevin Kramer, he told it to a group of North Dakotans on the Capitol lawn. He said it to Donald Trump's staff. We're talking like Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis, top campaign attorney. He said, what do you want me to do? And what is the evidence that could allow me to do it? You know, what is the, because my role as I see it is to wait for Mike Pence to open the envelope. That's what the Constitution says. And then see what the envelope says. That's all. I can object if there's two electors. In other words, Arizona said, man, we're not really sure. Kind of a mess here. So we're going to send up two sets. Then they decide. That didn't happen. They can have even more of a circus if there's a tie where they get the states to vote. See, the great thing about our founding fathers, they thought of all this stuff. It's genius. So Kevin asks North Dakotans. In fact, I talked to a guy yesterday or the day before that has something from, I want to say, 1774. He was in D.C. that said, this is what they need. Can you get this to Senator Kramer? I did. But it was yesterday. The vote was Wednesday. He's asking on Tuesday, what do you want me to do? And give me the evidence I need to do it under the Constitution. I don't think that's a complicated question. And nobody has, including Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis. Jenna Ellis, who didn't even return his call. Now, I don't know if that's chaos in the White House or, as Senator Kramer suggested, maybe they have something else and they're not that worried about January 6th. But January 6th became the big deal in the Congress because of what? The breach of the Capitol. How'd that happen? All I can say to you is question everything. And evidently, even people within the Capitol Police are questioning everything. Three of the top people fired and other investigations going on. What does that mean? Leah, in beautiful Benedict, North Dakota, 1 minute, go.
Yes, hi there. Well, the enemy is within. The Democratic left has their own domestic militia army that is strategically organized by them to, it's pretty much the same as the kind of mercenaries that Putin uses to go into other countries and terrorize them. And they were ordered, I'll guarantee you, to go in and break into the Capitol to intimidate Congress before their vote. And they should have been put down when they were here in North Dakota, even with the 25th Amendment, because that's where it has gotten to. And if you're talking about unity, well, they have declared war. And people need to know that a wolf is not a sheep. So as far as the D.C., all of that, if the links can be made, if the right people are looking into it, it is true treason. And the people, not only the people who commit the acts of treason, but those who organize them and support them, they are under the law required to be prosecuted just as if they actually did the action. So
just a hair over a minute there, but thank you. Interesting points, question, everything. Mark and Bismarck, go.
Yeah, I hate the one-minute thing because it's hard to have a conversation, but I understand. I went on a media cleanse, so I'm not sure where this very disturbing word came from. I wasn't able to dial into you guys at the start of the program, but I heard the word unification, and I want to say that is an extremely dangerous word in the mouth of politicians. We should not be using that word. Don't let them establish the rhetoric. Unification means that in order for me to unify with them, I have to give up my ideals and submit to theirs. Unification is not a good idea. This nation is not divided. We are the United States of America, and Trump did not divide us. He actually unified us. He demonstrated that the conservative thought is actually a very dominant thought in this nation. So don't let them tell us that we're divided. Don't let them tell us that we need unification. We do not need unification. Unification is a bad thing. It leads to armbands and other horrible military actions eventually. I don't know if any of that made sense, but I think we should be careful about that word.
There's a question. You asked me a question so I can weigh in. Oh, thank you, Mark. The way I'm going to weigh in is this. I don't think unification is dangerous in the sense of I love my neighbor, so while I might not agree with everything he does, his dogs bark, I'm going to be nice to my neighbor, right? I don't think unity is a bad thing in Christianity. I think that's literally, if you read the Bible well, it says there ought not be the Baptists over here, the the Catholics over here, the evangelicals over here, Martin Luther over here. I don't think that's what he wanted. So I think that's good unity. What you're talking about, political unity, couldn't agree with you anymore.
But here's my point. You use the neighbor example, right? Okay, so that is true in my heart, and it's true in my neighbor's heart. Do we need to call for unification in order for my neighbor and I to get along? Does somebody have to point out to me that there needs to be unification?
Yeah, you very good point. Yeah, I do, Mark.
It's used as a keyword for them to say, we need to submit and come over to their side. We need to say it's okay to impeach Trump. We need to say it's okay for big tech to silence Trump, and that somehow is not a violation of the free speech amendment. You know, these kinds of things. Unification is a dangerous word.
I take your point, and I agree with you in the context you've raised it. And I wonder, I think if you ask most Democrats now, I said, just give me Obama back. No drama, Obama. Let's just bring him back. Ask yourself if this sounds peaceful and somebody's seeking unification.
If you want the next 4 years looking like the last eight, then I'm not your candidate. But if you want real change, if you want an economy that rewards work, and that works not just for Wall Street, but also for Main Street, if you want tax relief for the middle class and millions of new jobs, if you want health care you can afford and education so that your kids can compete, then Elko, I need you. I need you to go out and talk to your friends and talk to your neighbors. I want you to talk to them whether they're independent or whether they are Republican. I want you to argue with them and get in their face. And if they tell you that, well, we're not sure where he stands on guns, I want you to say he believes in the Second Amendment. If they tell you, well, he's going to raise your taxes, you say, no, he's not, he's going to lower them. You are my ambassadors.
You are my ambassador.
You guys are the ones who can make the case.
Now, spoken like a true community organizer. Go argue with your neighbor and get in their face.
Yeah, there you go.
And tell them, don't worry about this Second Amendment stuff. Look what he tried to do. And by the way, on guns, very early in his administration, stopped by Heidi Heitkamp, to her credit, because she actually saw her phones melting in front of her in the D.C. offices. But I don't care. Did the right thing in the end. Tioga, North Dakota, home of KTGO. Tom, a minute, go.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Scott. Yeah, I just, we got a lot of enemies, but I think one part of that is our random Republican representatives, Kramer, Hovind, and Armstrong, because they, when we needed them most, they didn't back our president. They didn't fight for him. And that's been the problem with the Republican Party, I think, for a long time, is they just don't fight. They just, Kelly Armstrong made a statement, we can't win, so we're not going to fight. And, that kind of attitude is what has just, killed this party. Now we have a one-party administration, and now they're going to pack the court, and, there's just no telling the damage they're going to do with that. And so at this point, I would never vote for those three guys again. And I'm probably not going to vote Republican again either.
Tom, appreciate your call. Thank you. I'm going to keep going here. Get one more in. Bob in Wheatland. Go ahead, quick.
Yes, I got a statement and then a question for you, Scott. The statement is the enemy is going to be big tech and media for sure, and spineless politicians. And we got some jellyfish from North Dakota. All we asked them to do was, all we needed was 10 days just to investigate for 10 days, and they couldn't do that. And now they're leaving Cruz and Hawley out to dry. Most of the Republican parties are doing that. They're spineless, and they are the enemy as far as I'm concerned. And now the question for you, Scott. After seeing people walk around, mega people, walk inside.
Hang on, Bob. More. I'll let you finish your question after the break. Don't touch that dial. Does this song have something to do with a reaper?
It does, yes. Don't fear the reaper.
Okay, so it says there is a reaper, but we're not supposed to fear the reaper.
Correct.
Okay.
And more cowbell.
Is that why you put that song in, or was it the cowbells?
It was just came up on my,
oh, good,
shuffle deal.
Well, I think there's a good message in there, because
yeah,
there is a reaper.
Oh, yeah.
We ought not fear the reaper, and I don't think the reaper is John Hoven, Kevin Cramer, and Kelly Armstrong. Some of you do. I understand. I understand. Here's the thing we all have to ask each other. If we had had lawyers in every one of these states watching every move, if we had fought constitutionally every move to have mail-in ballots and everything else due to COVID, changing the rules, disregarding state constitutions, if we had started with the worst of the worst evidence so we could say, not enough there, not enough there, not enough there. Oh, look at this smoking gun. Oh, look at this one, look at this one. Folks, the enemy is really the people that have stolen this election. And they're very, very good at it. China's one of them. There might even be a Vatican role in this. I don't know if any of this is true, but I've seen enough to say, investigate it. And the sad part is, I'll give you another one. There are ballots and or signature envelopes shredded in a trailer at the FBI. How do I know that? I know that because Chad Wolf, the Homeland Security Secretary, told that to a member of our congressional delegation. My question was, what are they doing with it? And this person answered, well, I answered the question best of my knowledge. Because I said, is this real? These paper ballots, is it real? The FBI is in possession. So maybe the FBI has Jim Comey and Peter Strzok and what's her name investigating, I don't know, but they have a trailer with shredded ballots or envelopes at the FBI right now. Now, I don't know how long they had it, but the election was November 3rd, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Last time I checked the election. So let's give them 10 days. So say the 13th of November they've had it. Why don't we know if that is just somebody's Kleenex that got shredded for some reason or whether it's real? So this is what Donald Trump is up against. Kevin Cramer, John Hoven, Kelly Armstrong can't fix that. Because constitutionally, the states have to. And if they blow it, the courts have to. And if they blow it, in the Constitution I have in front of me, it says, you have one job, boys, open the envelope and vote on what's in the envelope. Now, that can change if they have hard, fast evidence. They don't. Like a court would need hard, fast evidence to put somebody in jail. They don't have that. So Kevin Cramer has repeatedly said, bring me what I need and I'll do what you ask. Nobody has. They've tried. I think I tend to say, could it be any more obvious? And guess what? Even with the stuff that might be a little nutty or not true or we don't know, it needs to be vetted more. The power the United States Congress has is vast. Subpoena power, not to mention they can call the FBI. They can call the CIA and say what's real. Folks, we don't know what to trust. We don't know who to trust. Donald Trump doesn't know who to trust. This is a mess. The enemy, in my mind, is not of this world. The enemy is the devil. Listen to Paul Harvey's If I Were the Devil and see how right he was 60s, 70s, 80s when he'd play that famous piece. Just Google Paul Harvey, If I Were the Devil. And what he basically says is, get folks, if I were the devil, I'd do all this bad stuff, pornography, da-da-da, all this bad stuff. You know, bathrooms for anybody that wants to go in them, you know, men and girls' locker rooms, girl and men's life, all those things, culturally and otherwise, communism, and I just keep doing what I'm doing because it worked for him. So that's my first enemy. My second enemy, to answer the question of the day here, is Iran, China, which we now know had a major role in the election. Now, I'd like to know definitively, rather than a newspaper article and one whistleblower, what these people did. But to me, there's enough evidence for the Congress to say, wow, let's bring in every intel agency we have. Let's bring in DOD. What do you know about this? They're either going to corroborate it or they're going to say it's crazy and they're going to give us the evidence. And then we decide. So I say to you, question everything. I also wish members of Congress would question everything. But to put all this on the Congress and all of this on our three in the delegation, they could have all gone with us. We'd be in the same place. So stop yelling about them. Stop calling them Judas and traitor. You can if you get to the end of this and find out there was more than a sufficient evidence, which I think we will. We will get to the end of this and we will see more than enough evidence. That might be a year from now. That might be 18 months from now. If that happens, Joe Biden's president, he's impeached. Kamala Harris is impeached. Maybe we have a presidential election for the first time in history in 2 years rather than 4 years. Then we can start messing with the Constitution. But I don't think we can until then. We are brought to you on this program by our friends at Advanced Business Methods. They are in Bismarck. They are in West Fargo. Fastest growing city in North Dakota, by the way. Grand Forks, Minot, and Dickinson. And, you know, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on right now with technology. And you might not know this, but the printer that you get everything you use at the office, at home, whatever, has data, has analytics. I mean, they're really high-end computers, your printer. So, number one, it's an important piece, but also there's a lot of risk there, security risks. They do encryption. They do firewalls. They keep the outside world out. Very important. Find out more, abmnow.com, abmnow.com, Advanced Business Machines.
See that text we got?
I didn't, but I got to go to Francisco and Bismarck, and then you tell me the text. Okay, Francisco and Bismarck, 1 minute, go.
All right, we'll make this as quickly as possible. It's a good thing I didn't get on last Tuesday when I called. However, people need to look at history a little bit here. The founding fathers did not want to separate from Great Britain. They worked hard. They sent representatives to try to negotiate and not have to break off from Great Britain. When they failed to come to an agreement, they went forward with the Declaration of Independence. 56 signers. 12 of them had their houses burned to the ground. 9 of them fought in the Revolutionary War and were killed. 5 were captured, tortured, and were killed. The Declaration of Independence said we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Abraham Lincoln wrote, "To sin by silence when one should protest makes cowards of men." Our three representatives, as the previous caller just said, failed us. FBI failed us. DOJ failed us. Supreme Court failed us. Multiple judges who failed to even have the evidence presented failed us. Now what do the American people do? Everybody who had an opportunity to stand up for what was right failed us. To a certain degree, I have to agree with the protesters. They have tried everything. Everything has failed us. What do you do? Question.
That's the question. What do you do? I think you continue to fight like Donald Trump has fought. I would not go across the police line. I've talked to one person who was there and said, I didn't know there was a line. I mean, there was a line before I got there, but it was pure chaos now. So those people technically broke the law on the outside of the Capitol. Obviously, if you're going in a window of the U.S. Capitol, you're breaking the law. I would not do that. I think it's fair to call that domestic terrorism at a minimal. And I think they were used as pawns. That's the sad part. They were used by pawns by very professional people. And the woman was shot, by the way, by a Capitol Police officer. Why weren't the first 10 that went in there shot? And that comes back to the Capitol Police thing. You don't go through a window. You don't break in the door. You don't overrun police. What should we do? Well, I know what I'm doing. I'm praying, and I'm fighting with everything I have for something better. Any way you want it. She loves to laugh. She loves to sing. She does everything. So did I finish answering his question, Francisco? I pray. I've done a little 2021 prayer and fasting. Because there, I mean, fasting to some people means you don't eat for 44 days. That's crazy, right? I mean, Jesus could do it in the desert, not me. But I'm giving up stuff I like. And Pope John Paul is one of my heroes. Pope John Paul II, just an incredible human being. If you ever get a chance to read anything about him, he said something famous one time when some cranky cardinal came up to him and said, "Oh, your Majesty, or whatever they call him, Your Excellence, not Majesty, Your Excellence, could you pray for me? I've got a bad leg." And Pope John Paul II whacked him in the chest and said, "Don't waste your suffering." In other words, if something really stinks in your life, you lost a loved one, you got an ache or a pain, you know, the Pope John Paul II way is to offer that suffering up. Because, you know, people had it worse before us, you know
sure,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's good teaching. And I'm kind of trying to get in that mode for 2021 because I want it so bad to be better than 2020. I want this evil curse known as COVID to be done. I want us to have, I'm not going to say unification, but I will say some resolve on agreeing who the enemy is. And a lot of you have raised good points about that. I still don't see the word enemy in there. I just reserve that for Iran and Russia and a fallen world and the devil. I don't, you know, it can't be about each other. We've really gotten ugly, which is one of the reasons these, what is it again, Kevin? These rallies, armed rallies, they're being planned around the country by whom, I don't know.
These armed protests, they're saying, in all 50 state capitals. I mean, Patriot Radio, there's a number of conservative groups. Do not go. Don't buy into this.
I add my voice.
It's another setup.
Right. I add my voice to that group.
Don't go near them. Don't go near the Capitol. Stay away. Let them show their colors.
Because, quite honestly, I think I've repeated this 20 times, and if I did, I apologize. But I know because I was at the Capitol an hour before James Lankford was gaveled down and they announced there was a breach. When I went in, one guard at the door, I'd say 10 to 15,000 people around the Capitol. Some of them very close to the Capitol. By the way, Donald Trump was still speaking. That's why I went over there when I did, because I knew the masses were coming.
Yep.
That's the conversation I had with the guard at the door. "Hey, dude, you know they're coming? Are you worried? Whatever." So what were those 15,000 there for? Probably to get a good spot. I'd say probably, 13 out of the 15. What were the two there to do? Find a window, get ready to break it, push people in. If you think for 1 minute that what happened in the Capitol was planned, instigated, and done, if you think that was the enemy, if you think that was terrorism, if you think they're rioters, you're part of the swamp. You're part of the swamp. You're calling real people names they don't deserve.
I got called a domestic terrorist twice.
Right.
And unfriended by a longtime friend. I couldn't believe it.
Were you breaking the law?
I wasn't even near it.
Exactly.
I wasn't even near it.
They're saying the same thing about me, and I was in the Capitol.
We were watching from across the street.
In a secure location. The point is, that's not the enemy. Focus on who the enemy is, otherwise the enemy wins.
Oh, we're all terrorists now, I guess.
So Kevin's warning is very apt for the Capitol.
Stay away.
All right. Every caller on the board's getting on the air in a minute for 1 minute.
Can I make one note on this text we got, guy?
Yeah.
So many things are coming to us with false information, and, you know, the World War III starting, and WikiLeaks just dumped all... They did that a month ago, by the way.
But read what they said.
Trump just declassified all the Washington scandals. He is hiding in a military base.
Okay,
the attack at the Capitol was Antifa.
Take them one at a time.
Yeah.
Declassification. There is a move right now to declassify intel that shows how China was involved in this election.
They haven't done that yet.
I know that from whatever various news sources. Do I know it to be true, 100% true? I don't. I would assume Donald Trump, if he has the power and knows what's happened, will declassify it. I don't know if it's true or not, and I wish he would. Now, when you look at something that says, "Hey, they just declassified everything. They're censuring everyone. Share it wide. Here we go." Whoa.
Yeah.
And then they instantly jump to what? WikiLeaks and Hillary's emails and...
Military arrests begin this weekend. The takedowns, the EAS is getting... Listen, that's not happening. Trump is not hiding in a military base. He's on Air Force One heading to Texas right now.
To by the way, highlight what?
To highlight 400-plus miles of border wall built.
Thank you. By the way, who's building some of that wall?
It'd be,
Our buddy Tommy Fisher at Fisher Industries, who I talked to last night for 20 minutes, and he said very humbly, it's amazing how things have changed because now he's the first guy the Corps calls. Because they build, I forget how many walls himself, but they are crushing it. They're beating anybody. It's not falling down. That was fake news. The Corps calls him first.
Of course they do. He had the best design for the best money.
And it took a while, but the Corps kind of finally came around and said, "Look, Donald Trump wants his wall up. Let's build the damn wall. Even they got in on the game. Sometimes you can even convert the swamp. Anyway, to the calls. After I tell you about PetroServe USA, it's Tuesday, so I haven't decided lasagna with garlic toast at West Main Avenue or West Fargo, or the meatball dinner at Harwood, or the beef tips on 12th Avenue North, PetroServe USA, or the sea tacos. I'm thinking fish. They just went kind of like everybody does now. There's emoji for sea, right? And S-E-A is what they meant, but they typed C. I don't know. I'd check it out in Yulin today if I were you. Valley City hot beef sandwich or chicken pot pie. Here's the deal. It's home cooking. It's grab-and-go convenience. You're going to fill your tank with the lowest price anywhere. What's not to love? Might be Marathon gas, might be Senex gas. It's a low price. It's PetroServe USA helping America fuel better. Do me a favor. Tell them Scott sent you. Okay? Fred, Bismarck, go. 1 minute, it's yours.
Tell me what Senators Hawley, Cruz, and Johnson did wrong.
I don't believe they did anything wrong, but I also know Ted Cruz said we're picking between two very bad choices.
Yeah. Here's where we are. Who's the enemy? Well, for one, the court. But I've been a lifelong Republican, and right now I'm hanging my head. The other day I saw Kevin Cramer on MSNBC. Now, what in the world is he doing on MSNBC? I mean, these people become members. These people become part of a swamp so quickly. I mean, I want to get my face on TV so desperately that I'll go to MSNBC. Why would he even show up there? I mean, what a disappointment. What an idiotic thing to do. I'm sorry. I cannot defend that. And our delegation from North Dakota has been strangely silent. And you say, well, we shouldn't take it out on them. I'll tell you what, they've been a real disappointment. When they're running for office, they're tough guys. They're going to go in there. They're going to take care of things, clean things up. They get there. Everybody starts calling them senator and representative, and they get all the perks and the nice salary and all the rest of it that goes with it, and they shut down. And that is what has happened in North Dakota. And I'm sorry you're defending them. I'm disappointed. We have no place to go. Who else do you vote for? Do you vote for a Democrat next time around? I don't think so. But I'll tell you, I'm bitterly disappointed with our congressional delegation. And explain to me why Kevin Cramer is on MSNBC.
Okay, that was a question for me then, Fred. You want me to answer that one?
Yeah, answer it.
Okay, second of all, can I say a statement you made that you can't believe I'm defending them? I have family members that feel exactly as you do, word for word. So this is an honest disagreement. I'm not defending them. If I were them, I would have voted yes. I've said that 1,000 times. I don't think they should be silent about why they're voting what they're voting, but I know enough of what Senator Cramer has done to ask for the White House to give me the information that allows me to vote how you want me to vote. I know all that. And by the way, as far as the important stuff, I think Kevin Cramer thinks this job stinks. I don't think he likes that people say nice things to him. I think, by the way, I had the good fortune, because there was a curfew in D.C., that I had to stay at his apartment on a couch after the events of that morning, and laid my head on a pillow about 3 a.m. And it looked like the apartment my mom and dad had a few years after I was born. Nothing fancy.
Hey, look, Kevin Cramer fought for 20 years to get where he is. He would have died to get that office. He wanted it so badly, he used every trick in the book to get to Washington, D.C. I feel no sympathy for him if he's not happy with his job. And if he isn't happy with his job, then quit. This is ridiculous. Why are we defending this clown? He was, like I said, he's on MSNBC the other day. Why give those people any credence at all? They have no credibility, and there he sits with his little grin. It's ridiculous.
Okay, before I answer the MSNBC question, I feel compelled to say he fought forever to get to D.C., and I'm remembering how many times he was asked by the president and said no. How is that a fight to get to Washington?
Before the president was ever involved, Kevin Cramer ran, went against his party, he did everything he could to get there. Before the president ever came along, yes, the president thought he'd be a good ally. Unfortunately, the president was wrong.
Okay, well, you can think that today, I mean, he said yes because the president said America's worth it, and he agreed. And I think in his heart of hearts, he'd tell you everything that's an irritant is worth it right now. I just wanted to kind of address the whole they get caught in the trappings. By the way,
the president was stroking his ego, and it worked.
Okay, and that might even be the case. I don't disagree with that can happen. It happens a lot in Washington, D.C. I also agree that our delegation in a whole is being way too quiet about this. That'll explain it. Every time I talked to John Hovind before January 6th, He said, Scott, the courts. It's the courts. Well, when the courts drop the ball and the states drop the ball, who's left to fight? That's where you have a good point. As far as MSNBC.
Well, you got Hawley and you've got Cruz and you've got Johnson. They fought. Where were our guys? Silent.
Hawley, Cruz, Johnson. Who Johnson?
Ron Johnson.
Oh, Ron Johnson. Right. Yeah. And I
Ron
think they
Johnson
were right.
From-
yeah. They were right to do what they did. They didn't have the votes. So Kramer, Hovind could have gone your way. Still, we would be where we are today. But I hear you. I hear what you're saying. As far as the MSNBC thing, I think I watched the same one you're talking about. And this woman tried to overrun him after he said, why didn't they just do a hand count in Georgia? Why do we have the results we have in Georgia? And she flipped out. So I think when you go talk truth to those knuckleheads at MSNBC once in a while, that's not the end of the world. He wasn't there to kiss up. He was there to get his message there. I used to do MSNBC.
Don't go there. Why would you go there? They're a bunch of liars. They've been liars from the beginning. They've done nothing but attack the president. And to give them any credibility by showing up on their airways is idiotic.
Okay, that's a fair point. I think you're talking about, again, when I come back to on the vote on January 6th, the better of the worst of two choices, two bad choices. But I used to do Ed Schultz's show on MSNBC whenever he'd ask. We even had an uplink in our studio in downtown Fargo so I could do it easier. I did it not because I wanted to do anything other than say, somebody should tell you how wrong you are, dude. That's the only reason I did it. I didn't to give them credibility. Let's see. Frank at Fargo, you got a minute. Go. I don't hear Frank, so I'm going to go to Eddie in Fargo. You got a minute. Go, Eddie.
All right, good morning. I just would like to make a comment on mail-in voting. I think we have an opportunity with the legislature in session to be a leader in the nation and specifically stipulate that we do not mail out ballots to everybody who's on the voter rolls any longer. That practice has got to stop in this nation. It's been a large issue in the election in various states. And we need to stop that because the opportunity for fraud is just absolutely unbearable.
You're absolutely right.
We also have an opportunity to stipulate that we do not use voting machines. This state is small enough. We can certainly go back to a hard hand count, which is absolutely accurate and it's reliable. And
Amen.
We need to do that.
By the way, another good idea. Do you know they say voter ID is suppression?
Huh.
A Supreme Court ruling said it was not. Why are we fighting on that front?
What's on your mind? Powered by Schwann, BuickGMC.com. The indoor sales so successful Saturday. They've extended it through this week, through this coming Saturday. So many trades have come in. If you were there last week and did not happen to find what you were looking for, or if you couldn't make it out, here's your chance to get a very reasonable price for a late model pre-owned vehicle. Over 125 pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and all price ranges all marked down. And don't forget, many of those vehicles come with Schwann's very own lifetime powertrain warranty. The sale only comes once a year, and it lasts through 4 p.m. this Saturday at Schwann Buick GMC under the gigantic American flag on Memorial Highway in Mandan or online at SchwannBuickGMC.com.
What do 1,000 buildings throughout the Northern Plains have that your buildings don't have? They have Link from H.A. Thompson & Sons. And it's pretty simple. That number, when we first started talking about this for our friends at H.A. Thompson, was around 300 buildings. And don't give us the credit. Give the folks at H.A. Thompson & Sons the credit because they found out a way to maintain the mechanical heating and cooling systems of more than 1,000 buildings throughout the Northern Plains now. And what it means is when something breaks down, there's no big bill. When something needs to be maintained, you pay one price. One price, peace of mind, bottom line, is where you know it's going to be. It's really a great way to go. Find out more at H.A. Thompson & Sons. Their website has good info on this, hatandsons.com, or call them at 701-234-9889 for pricing and lots of other things, okay? All right. Callers, we have some guests that are joining us next. So we are out of time for callers today, but anybody that wants to hold that is online, we'll do, Kevin and I, after the show. I think we're calling this leftovers now, aren't we? I think we're going to have some leftovers today, but they're good leftovers, that kind. So anyway, that's coming up after the show. Stay on hold, and we'll chat with you after the line. Right now, the executive director of the University of Mary, online, Rachel Brash, and the assistant director of the University of Mary's undergraduate online admissions, two of my favorite people ever, from one of my favorite institutions on the planet Earth for higher ed and leadership and so many reasons, the University of Mary. Rachel Brash, Michael Raybar, welcome back. How are you?
Good, Scott. Good to hear you.
Hi,
good to
Scott.
Hear you as well. Michael, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
That's right. Did you watch those Colorado College games with the hockey team that we kind of call our favorite?
I knew you were going to ask that, and yes, of course, we did watch those games, yes.
What was the outcome of those two games?
3-0 and 2-1.
Yeah, thank you very much, folks. We love us some UND hockey. Anyway, we didn't come here to talk about that. We're going to talk about thank you scholarships. Rachel, what is a thank you scholarship?
The thank you scholarship are for all those people working on the front lines. We have a lot of people in education and healthcare, particularly, that are working a lot, and they're here keeping us healthy, keeping us safe, keeping our students in school. And so we're providing a scholarship for them so that they can enroll in our classes and continue in their careers. So for those graduate programs, they get their first class free. And then for our RN to BSN students and our respiratory therapy students, they'll get $600 towards that first class.
That's pretty incredible when you think about it. And, of course, what's even more incredible is the outcome, ultimately. Michael, where would be some places they might think about taking advantages in the way of course offerings for that?
Yeah, Scott. So what we're looking at in the graduate area would be like our Master's of Science in Nursing, our Master's of Science in Kinesiology, Clinical Exercise Physiology, and our Master of Education as well. So we're looking at those healthcare areas and education areas, like Rachel said. And then on the undergraduate side, as Rachel mentioned as well, the RN to BSN programs and the respiratory therapists who are looking to finish off their degree.
Yeah, and there's so many things here, and I know you can literally come get a master's, you can get, finish off your undergrad, or you can get these certificates, too. Is this good for all three of those? Just refresh my memory on that, Rachel.
Yep, this is for our degree programs, and we do have certificates available, and there's other scholarships, too. And so, you know, if you're thinking about going back to school, and it seems like, you know, now is never a good time, but now is really a great time. Just to get started, talk to Mike, talk to our admissions team, find out how all of your life experience counts for credit. Our next group of classes starts February 8th, and so we just really welcome people to contact us to find out more.
And if you've not had a chance to thank someone that's doing this frontline worker right now, but you got somebody, reach out to them and tell them about this. It's another way you know they know how much you care for them, and a way to support them with the education to grow their career. MSN, RN to BSN, RT to BSRT. These numbers mean something to somebody. Trust me. Masters in what's kinesiology, by the way? Tell me what that is.
Kinesiology?
Yeah.
Yeah, pressure point therapy, stuff like that.
Pretty cool.
Massage.
Clinical exercise physiology. The value of a scholarship is the big thing. I think this is why we're telling these folks, because when they ultimately, get the value of the scholarship and what that turns into, that's the big thing, isn't it, Michael?
Absolutely. And like Rachel said, we're just happy to get on the phone with anybody who's interested and have the conversation. There's no obligation to visit with us. We can answer questions for you. We've got a good staff of admissions representatives who are just waiting to visit with you and help you to finish your degree if that's what you're looking for.
12 undergraduate majors, 15 master's programs, online evenings. They do it to your schedule. Many other places don't do that. Here's the rules. There's almost... I don't want to scare Monsignor Shea, but there's almost no rules. They find a way. They find a way to get it done. Enrollment trends, I understand, are great for the health science program. I hope it's because people are using the code HENNEN, HENNEN, H-E-N-N-E-N, to receive the thank you scholarship. Deposits due by April 30th, 2021. For more info, call them. 355-8030, 355-8030, or go online, online.umary.edu. Thank you both, okay? Appreciate the time. See you tomorrow, folks. Caller, stay tuned for the After the Show.